352 is our song for invitation, and now we're seeing page 40. All found? Let's sing. What a glad thought, some wonderful morning. I shall hear Gabriel's trumpet sound when I wake up to sleep no more. Rising to meet my blessed Redeemer. When I wake up to sleep no more. When I wake up to sleep no more. Happy I'll be on heaven's bright shore with the Redeemer of all the ages. When I wake up to sleep no more, glory to God, I have a new body, twinkling of an eye. When I wake up to sleep no more, leaving behind all troubles and sorrow, city up on high. When I wake up to sleep no more, when I wake up to sleep no more, happy I'll be on heaven's bright shore. When I wake up to sleep no more, I shall behold the beauties of heaven with the Redeemer of every race. When I wake up to sleep no more, neath the green trees beside the still water, find a resting place. When I wake up to sleep no more. When I wake up to sleep no more. And happy I'll be on heaven's bright shore with the Redeemer of all the ages. When I wake up to sleep no more. When I wake up to sleep no more. Happy I'll be on heaven's bright shore with the redeemed of all the ages. To sleep no more, sleep no more. Church, say amen. Amen. Church, say amen again. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord today? Yes, I know it's a lot of places that we could have been, but I think the best place that we could be is right here in Jesus' house. Amen. Yeah, the week is always a long week, and people out there don't always mean to do us any good. But it's always good to be in the house of the Lord where you are around like-minded people. People who all want to go to heaven and people who all want to see you go to heaven. It's one thing to want to go to heaven on your own. It's something totally different to want to see those people who are next to you go as well. And in the body of Christ, we are all want to go to heaven and we all want to see each other go to heaven, which is such a blessing. Thank you for Brother Shelton and Brother Reese, who led our scripture reading and prayer, and also to Brother Pryor, who led our singing. Amen. I'm just happy to be here this morning. I'm all fired up. Yes, sir. And I'm fired up because God is good. But I'm even more fired up just over the last couple of days. The leadership here, we had our leadership retreat, and we got a chance to plan for the 2018 year. We went and spent a night over in Murfreesboro and got up and ate together on Friday night and got up and worked all day yesterday. And we coming for y'all, buddy. We on fire to get our church moving more swiftly in the right direction. And I'm just so thankful for the leadership of the congregation for one, having me here, but also for being open-minded and being willing to do whatever it takes to move God's people forward. And that's what I love about the leadership here at Heart Street is that, you know, that the only obstacle for us is us. And the leadership here is engaged in overcoming any obstacle so that we can encourage the people of God. So I'm excited. I'm really excited today. I was going to preach to you one lesson, but after the weekend with the leaders, I decided to change my lesson. But we'll see what that is in just a second. I keep falling in love with him over and over again. Yes, I keep falling in love with him over and over again. Why? Because he gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Savior and I. Keep on falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. And he keeps blessing me over and over again. God just keeps on blessing me over and over again. Yes, and he gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Savior and I. Keep on falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Yes, and he keeps cleansing me over and over. God just keeps on cleansing me over and over. Yes, and he gets sweeter as the day goes. Oh, what a love. My Lord and I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Yes, I keep falling with him over and over again. Yes, I keep falling in love with him over and over. And my God, he is sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love. Sweet my Lord, and I keep falling with him over and over. Yes, I keep falling with him over and over again. Yes, I keep falling in love with him over and over again. Yes, he gets sweeter as the days go. Oh, Lord, between my Savior and I, keep falling with him over and over again. And he gets sweeter and sweeter as the days. Between my Savior, I keep falling with the Lord over and over. Yes, and he gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Between my Lord and I, keep falling in love with him over and over again. Church, say amen. It's good to fall in love with the Lord over and over again. If you would, turn your Bibles to Isaiah, the 6th chapter. And we'll start at verse 1 and go through verse 8. And then we'll move over to Psalms, the 85th chapter, and read verse 6.
Again, thank you, Brother Sheldon, for reading. We're just reading for emphasis sake. It says, in the year of the king Uzziah, in the year that the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, above the train of his robe, filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two wings he covered his face, with two wings he covered his feet, and with two wings he flew. And one cried to another, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door was shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphims flew to me, having in his hand a live coal in which he had taken from the thong of the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. Then you go, if you would, turn over to Psalms, the 85th chapter, verse 6. And it says, will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? From these two passages, I want to offer up the title to you, Revive Us Again. I think we can all agree that in the country in which we live, we are in need of a revival. We are in need of an awakening. Revive simply means to be brought back to consciousness, or to be brought back to life. And I believe that if we're totally honest and we look at what's going on all around us, we can all agree that it is time for a revival. And I think if we're being honest and we look not only what's going on outside of the church house, but if we look at the energy and the passion and the way in which we treat one another, we can also need a revival in the church. As a matter of fact, if you want to be honest, revival is something that is designed and is strictly designated for the people of God. Revival is not a series of meetings. And I know that we like to have revivals and we like to feel good after a revival meeting. But what we need to do is be truly revived so that we are called into action to do what God has called us to do. What has God called us to do? God has given us a clear mission to go preach the gospel, spread the word, and baptize and make disciples. That's our mission. But we sometimes get caught up in all the things that are going on in our life, and we fail to accomplish our mission. And when we fail to accomplish our mission, we find ourselves dead spiritually. And when we find ourselves dead spiritually, or even better term, unconscious spiritually, because you can be alive and unconscious, when we find ourselves unconscious spiritually, we must, as the people of God, take some time and recognize that we need a revival. Now, both of these passages of scripture I read to you have similar context and similar history. Both David in the book of Psalms and Isaiah in the book of Isaiah are responding to a people that have not followed God's word, a people who have not met the expectation set by God. Now, I know sometimes we say, when I say not follow God's word, we think about people who are outside of Christ, or we think about people that are outside of his body. But let me tell you, not meeting the expectation that God has set for us is, in essence, not following God's word. So sometimes it's not necessarily about your sin that we're talking about. We're just talking about the potential that you have not met. And I want to tell you that too many of us are not meeting the potential that God has given us. Therefore, we need a revival. I think when we look at the book of Isaiah, where we'll spend the majority of our time, we get, if we really pay attention to the text, we will find the components needed to revive ourselves. And I think if we're watching and we're paying attention to the text, we find not only the components that we need to revive ourselves, but we also find what our reaction should be to those things. I'm going to go ahead and get to the end of the story now. Verse 8 and Isaiah 6 says, the Lord said, who should I send? And his response is, Lord, him I send me. That's where we're going. Everything that we talk about between now and the end of the sermon is so that at the end of this sermon, we will have the same response as Isaiah, and we will look at ourselves and say, Lord, here am I, send me. Now, so let's look at the passage of Scripture. The Bible starts off in verse 1 of Isaiah 6. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died. That's the first point. And you say, Brother Mason, how in the world is that the first point? Because we have to know contextually and historically who Uzziah was, and then we'll understand why his death was significant. See, Uzziah was a powerful king. And we can read about him in 2 Chronicles, but Uzziah was a powerful king in Jerusalem, and Uzziah was on the throne something like 52 years. He took reign at the age of 16. And you know, if you're pretty good and you stay in power for a long time, then you become very influential. Right, right. And what we also find out is that Uzziah was not only good to his people, but the majority of Uzziah's life, Uzziah followed what God asked him to do. It wasn't till late in Uzziah's life he got a little arrogant. And what happened is that Uzziah got arrogant and he decided to forego the priest and to go into the temple and to light an offering to God himself. And the priest warned him. They said, Uzziah, don't do that. Don't do that. That's not your job. You're the king. We're the priest. Don't you make that offering. And Uzziah got a little arrogant. He had been leading for quite a long time. The people were following him. So he decided to usurp what God had put in place. And he decided to light this offering on his own behalf. And what happened was, when he began to light the offering, God struck him with leprosy. And Uzziah was then, from that point on until his death, was not even allowed to go into his own kingdom because he was a king, but he was a king with leprosy. All right, but Uzziah was a good king. He made some fatal mistakes, but the majority of his life was done in a way that the Bible would say was pleasing, that he followed God's rules. So you say, well, Brother Mason, well, why does Uzziah dying have any bearing on this passage of revival? Because the Bible says, in the year that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. What does that mean? Isaiah needed Uzziah to die so he can see the Lord. See, sometimes we have, I'm coming down, Kayla, but I'm going back up. Sometimes we have things in our life that serve us well. We have things in our life that are good to us. And those things become our object of worship. And what happens is that we put so much attention on those things or on those people that we are unable to see God. See, so what happened is, in order for Isaiah to see God, Uzziah had to die. So let me stop right here and just talk to you for a minute, and I want you to take just a second to reflect, and I want you to think to yourself, what is your Uzziah? What is it in your life that is causing you not to see God? Some people say, oh, Brother Mason, I see God. No, you don't. How do I know you not see God? Because you're not revived. See, I know that you see God because when you see God, then the response is, here am I, send me. So if you are sitting on your hands, If you are not bringing people to God, if you are not spreading the gospel, then something is in your way and you cannot see God. So I'm asking you to be honest with yourself and find out, what is your Uzziah? What do you mean by that? It could be your kids. Some of us worship our kids. Yeah. It could be your parents. Some of us worship our parents. It could be your job. Some of us are more in more focused on doing well to please man than we are pleasing God. It could be your things. You know, when you get up on Sunday morning and you probably should come to church, but instead you wash your car, that could be your Uzziah. It could be your house. You got a house that's big and people will love to be here. People will love to be in fellowship with you, but you so selfish, you won't open up your doors and let anybody in, and you won't help anybody, and you won't give to the poor. That could be your Uzziah. It could be your health. You might be struggling with a health issue, and you're saying to yourself, I don't feel good. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that, and that is your Uzziah. Let me tell you, if you're still alive, God has an expectation of you. I don't care if you're sick. If you're alive, God has an expectation of you. I know that to be true because one of the best testimonies that I've ever received in my life was from my grandmother on her sickbed. My grandmother was really sick with cancer, and she was struggling. And she would spend most of her day unconscious towards the end of her life. And we would go up there in Chicago, and for a period of time, we would drive. As soon as we got off of work, at school, we would drive on Friday night straight to Chicago and spend the whole weekend there. And as late as we could on Sunday night, we would drive to get back to school. And my grandmother was sick, very, very sick. And she couldn't respond to a lot of anything. But when we would sing songs about Jesus, my grandmother would find an energy that we hadn't seen in a while. And she would tell me as I sang a song, she sometimes couldn't even sing the words. She would just rock her foot. She would just rock her foot. And I remember the last time I got ready, and I'm trying not to get emotional, but the last time I saw my grandmother, she hadn't spoken for days, but she was rocking her foot. And then right before it was time for us to get back in the car and go home, she beckoned to me to come a little closer. And she said one sentence to me, and I promise you, it blessed my life more than anything that anybody has ever said. She said, "Keep singing, Darwin Jr." That was it. That was it. She was on her deathbed, but she still had a mission to accomplish. Do you know by the time I got back home that night, we got home, the phone rang, and when we answered the phone, they said, "Your grandmother has passed away." That was the last thing she said to me, but it was enough. So if you are here, if you are healthy or not, you have a responsibility and a mission to accomplish. So let me move on, because I think the reflection needs to happen not just here, but all week. But the question is, what is your Uzziah? And then the Bible says, in the year that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Now, that's your second point. In order for you to be revived, you have to see God. But watch what happened when he saw God. Isaiah said, "I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he fly." We sing that song all the time. "I need two wings to veil my face." You know that song don't have nothing to do with the scripture, but it's okay. Now, I'm just saying. That wasn't what he was talking about, but that's all right. And he said, one cried to another, and he said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." So Isaiah did not just see God. He recognized who God was. Now, that's two different things. Sometimes we see God in our life, but we don't take the time to recognize God's power. But what happened is that when Isaiah saw God, the seraphim began to worship God. And then when the seraphim began to worship God, Isaiah really saw God. He saw God, and he saw that God was all-powerful. He saw that he was everywhere all the time. He saw all the things that represent God. And the reason why he saw those things is because the seraphim decided to worship. First point, what's your desire? Second point, do you see God? Do you see God, and do you see what God really is? I wonder for people in the body of Christ, we talk about God a lot. We say that we love God, but sometimes I'm not really sure that we see God, and we see him for who he is. Some will say, well, that's not a fair statement. Why would you say that? Because sometimes we move about without faith. See, and when you are faithless, then that's evident that you don't truly see God for who he is. Anybody ever had a problem in their life? You don't have to agree, I know, right? But sometimes we have problems, and we let problems weigh us down. And we let problems beat us up. Sometimes those problems are people. Sometimes we get caught up in bad marriages. Sometimes we get caught up in bad relationships or bad jobs. And what happens is that when we get in those situations, we begin to act as if God is not in control. And I know that when we start to take our own problems in our hands, and when we start to figure it out on our own, that in all essence, we are not truly seeing God. So I want you to think now, because what are we getting to? We're getting to revival. But it's some things that we got to get out the way so that we can do what God needs us to do. We got to make sure we get rid of our desires. And then we got to make sure that we see God for who God really is. See, let me give you some characteristics of God. God made the earth out of nothing. That's big. See, it's not just that God made the earth. God made the earth out of nothing, okay? So if I make something out of nothing, that means I have everything. You see what I'm saying? See, you can make a dress, but you can't make a dress without material. See, Nissan can make cars, but they can't make cars without parts. God made the whole earth out of nothing, which means everything that was in the earth was already in God, because God created what wasn't there. If you think about that, and if you think about God being that good, how in the world could he not fix your problem? And we are worried about stuff as if God can't fix our problems with our materials. And this is the good thing about God. God can fix your problems with the materials that you don't see yet. The reason why I know that's true is because God sent an angel to remove the stone from Jesus. That's because all the rest of them were scared. You see, that Paul and Thomas was running, right? They weren't going to go remove that stone. So God said, I need my son to get up, and I need him to get up right now. And I know good and well I can't trust them people at church. I can't trust Peter. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send an angel. An angel will remove the stone, and my son will get up. Why do you say that? Because God is just that powerful. And what Isaiah did was Isaiah saw God. So first point, what is your Uzziah? Second point, do you see God? Third point, what is your response when you see God? Because some of it is our Uzziah, some of it is we don't truly see God, and some of it is we see God, we recognize how powerful we are, how powerful he is, but instead of doing what we need to do to get in good accordance and be in harmony with God, we're so arrogant and so puffed up and so impressed with ourselves that we'll see God and all his power and then still be exactly the way we are. Y'all looking at me funny. I know that's true. Listen, some of us know we're struggling. Know where we need to go to get it fixed. Know what we need to do to be in the right standing with God. But we'll live in a messy situation anyway. That's true. That's okay. I was getting ready to go on, but my dad used to say, you know, sometimes when people are quiet, that means they really listen. So I'm going to leave that alone. But we know that God can fix our situation. But sometimes we will not respond like Isaiah and let God fix our situation because we are too proud. It's the reason why when we call down for the invitation, half of the people won't come. It ain't because we that holy. Uh-uh. Nope. All of us sinned this week. Every last one of us. All of us embarrassed God this week. At least once. So your response to the invitation is not because of your righteousness. Your response to the invitation most of the time is because of your pride. So sometimes we see God, but we won't do what Isaiah did. Isaiah said, so look at the response. So Isaiah looked at him after he saw the door shaking and the room was filled with smoke. And Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips. And now, when Isaiah is speaking of, and then he says, and I live amongst a people with unclean lips. Now, when he says unclean lips, he's not talking about having dirty lips. He's saying that the things that are coming out of their mouth is a result of what's in their heart. I am a man that is struggling with a heart problem. And I'm living amongst people who have a heart problem. And I just saw God in all of his glory. And I know good and well that when I see God in all his glory, that is something I need to do. I need to repent. That's what it is. See, you and I, on our best day, are more like Satan than we are like God. Yep, I said that. But the good thing is, God is not looking for your merit to save you. Because if God was looking for your merit to save you, we all in trouble. God already took care of the salvation plan. All he wants you to do is recognize that you struggle and admit that you struggle. And all Isaiah did is say, man, I'm messed up. And the reason why I got to tell y'all I messed up because I just saw God. And I just saw how good God is. And Uzziah is already dead, so I don't have anything, no man or anything to look up to. I just need to look at God. And I see that God is great and God is powerful and God should be worshipped. And man, when I see how good God is, I can't do nothing but fall on my face and say, man, I am messed up. And not only am I messed up, I'm around a whole bunch of messed up people. That's just the truth. I promise you that I'm not going to go anywhere outside of the text. That's what the text says. He says, I'm around. And then, but watch your response. Your response is, God, I need you. I'm messed up. And all of us messed up. But the response that's even better then Isaiah's response is God's. Watch it. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand live coal, which he has taken from the thongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sins are atoned. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sins are atoned. Some scriptures say your sins are purged. What does that mean? Isaiah got rid of Uzziah. Uzziah wasn't a distraction. He then saw God, but he just didn't see God. He really saw God. And then he responded by seeing the seeing the powerful God by repenting of who he was and who the people was. And then God, just by the simple fact that Isaiah admitted that he was struggling, sent an angel to remove all of his sins. Isn't that good? Now, it's one thing to say, Lord, I'm wrong. It's another thing to say, Lord, I'm wrong, and then activate his power. See, because that's what happens when we repent. That's what happens when we get rid of our problems, is that when we are honest enough with ourselves, then what we do in essence is we activate God's power. Now watch, the seraphim, when he touched the lip, he took away two separate things. He said, your sin is taken away. That's one thing. And then he said, your iniquities is taken away and your sin has been atoned. So he's actually satisfying two things. One, he's cleaning up the man. That's when he says your sin has been taken away. Two, he's meeting the justification that must take place in order for you to get to God. See, it's one thing to take away sin. It's another thing to then be justified. See, because in order for you to be justified, something has to take the punishment. See, so what he said is, not only am I going to clean you, but I'm going to allow what I'm doing right now to satisfy God's need for justification. See, and that's us. If you fast forward to the New Testament, when we hear the word of God and we believe it, and we repent of our sins, and we confess that Jesus Christ is the Son, then we are baptized. Baptism does two things. It washes away sin, and it satisfies God's justification. It allows God to the blood of Jesus stands in front of you, so God says that the sacrifice that needed to be made has been made by my son. And when you go down to baptism, I'm going to look at him and not look at you. Ain't that powerful? So I just had to tell you that because that's the gospel, by the way. And that's the invitation. We'll get to that in a second. But that's it. And then this is what I really like. Then God, after he cleaned him up, after he justified him, then he asked a question. Who shall I send? See, what happens with us, God cleans us up. He justifies us. He asks, who can I send? And we get quiet.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's it. See, God already did everything he needed to do for you. The problem is you're not doing what he needs you to do for him. See, so what I'm saying is, God said, Darwin, you're not worth a nickel. I said, God, you're right. Then I said, Lord, I'm struggling. Help me. God said, okay, I'll do it. He sends his son. He fixes up for me. After he fixes up for me, he looks at me. He said, Darwin, remember just about 22 seconds ago, you was messed up, and I send grace and I send mercy to watch over you. And I send Jesus to take care of you. And I send the Holy Spirit down to comfort you when you're struggling. Remember all of those things? And I say, yes, Lord. And then he says, who should I send?
Yes, sir.
And we stand flat-footed, bold, and get tight-lipped.
Yes, sir.
Our response should be, here am I, send me. Why is the world dying? Because we are not responding to God with, here am I, send me. Stop playing around with God's grace and his mercy. It's going to run out. And when it runs out, he's going to open the book of life and he's going to look and see, what have you done? And if he gave you multiple opportunities to serve him and you sit tight-lipped, then you messing up. What do we need, church? A revival. We need to wake up and get out of our unconscious state. Stop looking at the news talking about how sad that is. Stop looking at the news talking about, oh, these poor kids. Stop looking at the news talking about how do we even become the president. Stop looking at the news talking about this and this and that. Stop going down the street seeing the man on the corner with a sign talking about he know better. Stop doing all that stuff and say, here am I, Lord, send me. What you do with your money? Uh-oh, I know we're getting quiet now. What you do with your money? The church said, we need to do some more benevolence. And they looked at your check. And the Lord said, hey, remember Solomon? I cleaned you up. What you're supposed to do is say, here am I, send me. Stop playing games with God. Because God is not in the game playing business. God is about saving souls. The reason why I know is because he saved yours. This sermon is not for unbelievers. This sermon is for the people that come up in here every Sunday and say they love God. And all I'm asking you is if you say you love God, what's the proof? What's the proof? If you're looking out through your Rolodex of proof and all your the sheets of your paper are blank, it's time to start adding to it. Stop looking to the leaders and trying to get the leaders to do everything for you. Brother Waller shouldn't be the only person visiting the sick. Get out there and do what you're supposed to be doing. We get ready to make some changes in 2018. I'm trying to tell you what I know is true. We get ready to start bringing kids in from the neighborhood to come and learn about the Bible. We get ready to start doing more in our classes. We get ready to get into real ministry. We're going to revive us, but I'm trying to tell you we can't do it by ourselves. Where are our six leaders? Stand up, leaders. Y'all stand up. Where Brother Daniels? Y'all stand up. Gary just walked away. We've been talking. There go Gary right there. We've been talking for the last 48 hours about how we're going to do this thing. And when we got down to the bottom of it, when we all got through talking, we said, you know what we need to do? We got to get the people to move it. Because a lot of talk and no work is cheap. I'm asking you, when God says, who shall I send? What is your response? It should be. If it's not, this is the time. Y'all can sit down. Y'all can sit down. If it's not, this is the time for you to fix it. It's the time for you to fix it. Because God expects some stuff from us, man. He expects some stuff from us. Ain't no reason in the world why everybody on Hart Street ain't saved. We should run everything from I-24 in. The Napier Projects, 2nd Avenue, 4th Avenue, all these places around us, it's no reason in the world when people think about this side of town, they don't think about the work that we do. They got to think that way. But the only way they're going to think that way is if we get up and do something. Having the truth alone is no good. Yes, we got the right gospel. Yes, we're in the right place. But truth with no ministry is no good. We got to minister. We got to get up. We got to respond to the call. Stand on up on your feet for a second. Go on, stand up. We don't have to sing yet, but stand up. I already told you what Jesus did for you. I already told you what he did for you. And I know that you like it because you're excited about what he did for you. Just continue to ask your question. Is he excited about what you're doing for him? Izzy, when the last time you brought somebody to church? Mm-hmm. When the last time you even told them you was a member of the church? Mm-hmm. Some of us walk around our jobs all day long and we act as if God doesn't even exist. People start talking about religion and we start running. Mm-hmm. You don't have to know every scripture, just give your testimony. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to tell you, my grandmother, I told you, she saved a whole lot of souls. You know how she sold them souls? She saved them souls. Cakes and pies. Yeah, she fed people. And then when she got there, she wasn't all about what Hebrews or John or Mark and all them said. She just said, well, let me tell you what the Lord did for me. Some of us think we got to know every scripture to start evangelizing. No. Just tell them what God did for you. Amen. And you don't have to wait. Tell them what he did for you this morning. Uh-huh. He woke you up. Amen. He got you here. He did all those things. But we got to be willing. We got to be passionate enough. We got to love God's word enough to go take what he's done for us to the other people. Amen. We got to do it. We are the only soldiers that God has. He didn't leave a plan B on earth. He left us. Sometimes we think it's got to be somebody else. No, it's us. God didn't leave no other plan. He left the church. And the church got to save the people. I'm not talking about just about numbers or just about physical growth. Yeah, we should have physical growth. I'm talking about spiritual growth. But in order for us to start saving people, we got to get it right here first. Amen. We can't have gospel meetings before we have a revival. Amen. Let's revive ourselves. Amen. Let's get it right. All to Jesus. You come now. I surrender.